Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you came by this morning. Well, it's hump day. We're halfway through kind of a rainy, strange week. Sun came out early Monday morning and then got pretty warm. And then yesterday it was overcast, rained quite a bit, and rained a lot last night. So they're saying, though, that this is about the driest May we've had in many years. So, and I also got a message from one of my friends in New Mexico. Their weather is cold again, and they had snow. So be that as it may, the weather really shouldn't affect us as much as it does, but it does. So today I want to talk a little bit about the after effects of chemotherapy and radiation. Because of my background and a lot of the people that I surround myself with, we believe in a lot of the exposure to diet, natural remedies, things like that. We talk about it a lot on the show. As a matter of fact, Wednesdays are our Friendly Witch Doctor show. And we talk about the ability to bring your body to a much better place just by what you put into it. I think everybody gets that now. Not everybody does it. Not everybody makes that choice to do that. But there's a lot of Mother Nature's things out there in the world that support good health, good body functions, good immune systems, all that kind of stuff. But cancer has been a part of my life since the very beginning. I had, as a very young kid, I had family members who got cancer. I lost my maternal grandfather to lung cancer and watched him struggle with it a good part of my childhood. His remedy, of course, this is going back 60 years, his remedy was whiskey. And the whiskey sat beside his chair, and when he couldn't breathe and got coughing so hard, he'd take a swig of whiskey. It was a long time before I realized that whiskey was not meant to be medicinal. And then, of course, in the studies that I've done since then, I realized there was a time when whiskey was used medicinally. And until everybody realized that, if they overdid the medicine, they were, pie-eyed. So we've come a long way since then. We've come a very, very long way at what Western medicine can give to us. And it's almost like a full circle because we're now starting in the last 20 years to realize the ability of our earth to give back to us the things that reinforce our health. And things like wheatgrass, things like blue-green algae, things like veggies, in particular green leafy vegetables filled with chlorophyll, incredibly healthy for you and actually support your immune system. Some of us are born with great immune systems. Some of us are born with hardly any immune system. So there comes a time in your life when it's your job to support it and get it to a better place. Now, most of you know that relatively recently, my husband was diagnosed with head and neck cancer. I know him very well. We've been together for 47 years. I knew I couldn't get him to do a very, very strict vegan diet, although I'm not sure that that still would have been the choice I had wanted him to take. I would want to involve both arenas. We haven't spent trillions of dollars in the world of medicine to not reap some rewards from that. So I think having an open mind and realizing what is available to us from every arena is the smartest way, because cancer is a killer. Cancer will take your life if you don't do anything. I also have met people in my lifetime who have chosen just that, who have made the conscious decision to not do anything when they realize they have cancer. Why? Because they hear all the reports of, I had lung cancer and they took out a quarter of my lung and 10 years later I got lung cancer again. So they make that decision. They're not taking into account that for 10 years you were pretty healthy. The opportunity to get sick again probably had to do with some of your choices. I don't know whether that's true. I'm just saying it could have had to do with the choices that you made. So today I really am hoping that we can discuss some of the more natural, less medicinal avenues to go to help my husband and other people like him who are now suffering the horrific side effects of things like radiation and chemotherapy. Again, the cancer purportedly is gone. But now, you know, I've said this before and I will continue to say it, chemotherapy and radiation is like killing a fly with a 45. So, I mean, there's no two ways to look at that other than that. However, the cancer is gone. So that has to be worth something. So let's bring in Shell. I don't know whether Monica will be joining us today or not. Monica has very strong feelings on the more natural avenue, and it's not my place to talk her out of that. I just would like to say to everybody that anytime you close your mind, you miss an opportunity. Every time you fold your arms across your chest, you miss an opportunity. So having an open mind and an open heart is the most important things that you can do for yourself. Otherwise, you'll miss something important, something that might make a difference in your own life or somebody that you love. Good morning, Shell.
Oops, sorry about that. Good morning, Rainey. Had it on mute.
So I'm going to start first because I'm in the middle of this, and I'm going to mention some of the things that I have been doing for Spike, some of the things that go a little against my grain, and some of the things that I totally believe in. Number one is very early on when Spike's throat first started hurting, and I couldn't get anybody to look past the fact that he had just had heart failure, carotid surgery, and an aortic aneurysm, because that's what they were all concentrating on. I knew something was going on in his throat. Finally, we switched insurance plans, got in to see a different doctor, and he immediately recognized the fact that Spike had a tumor in the right side of his neck. So we moved forward with everything very quickly, because cancer is fast. And because I knew that his immune system was down from the last 3 years, as I said, the heart failure, the aortic aneurysm, and the carotid surgery, and now all the medication that he's on for the first time in his life. He's 70 years old. At age 67, he had to start taking heart pills. He had to start taking cholesterol pills, he had to start taking blood pressure pills, he had to start taking Lasix. He blew up the bottom half of his body. His feet and his ankles were so enlarged from holding fluid that I had to buy him stretchy diabetes socks, because if he tried to wear a regular pair of socks, this man has always had very thin, trim legs. If he tried to wear regular socks, you should have seen him. I mean, it looked like somebody wrapped a rubber band around his ankle at some point in time during the day. It was like balloons. So he went on Lasix. All of that stuff helped get all the other things under control, the carotid surgery and the aortic aneurysm surgery, both difficult because we're talking about a man who drank a good majority of his life, although he quit drinking about 14 years ago. but smoked Lucky Strikes since he was probably 10. So, or something there along the lines of a Lucky Strike, a Pall Mall, a Chesterfield, a Camel, no filters, no nothing. So now he's paying the price. So when he got diagnosed with the cancer, I was aware of the fact that his immune system was really under great duress because of everything that had happened to him. I could see it in his behavior. We're talking about a man who in his prime was an all-star in school, was in the Navy for 4 years, played ball, golfed, played all kinds of sports, was still playing football in his 40s. So he was a rugged, is a rugged, rugged man. So I was worried, but I also have seen him the day he decided he wasn't going to drink anymore, he just quit drinking. He didn't struggle like other people who have drank all their life. He just quit drinking. The day he found out that he had heart failure, he never picked up a cigarette again, never. He didn't use a patch. He didn't use anything. He just quit smoking. So this is who we're talking about. So now he's got a throat that is incredibly swollen from all the radiation. He did 33 treatments of radiation, and he did 7 treatments of chemotherapy. Now, I'm understanding little about the chemotherapy, although now when you have to get involved in that arena, they have your email. They send me all the it's like a recipe for the chemotherapy, and they show you all the different things that they design just for the individual. A lot of thought, a lot of stuff goes into all of this. So I'm scared, obviously, because I've seen the repercussions of chemotherapy and radiation. But I also know that I won't get him to quit eating meat. I won't get him to quit eating the little apple pies that they put out over the counter that have got more preservatives in them than, you know, fake flowers. So I know that we have to attack this and get it gone and then work with what we're left with. So that's what we're doing. Spike has been taking aloe since the first time his throat started hurting and I was concerned about his throat. The frozen aloe is a special aloe that's grown here in Florida, and it has been processed by an older man that I had the unique pleasure to meet several years ago at the Institute. And it comes frozen. He drinks 2 ounces of it. In the beginning, he was drinking 2 ounces in the morning and 2 ounces at night to help calm his throat before he went to bed at night. And it helped. After the chemo and the radiation started, he's had in the last 7 weeks, well, now it's 8 weeks, he's gone through at least 6 gallons of frozen aloe. We also break up capsules of chemosin, which is a natural supplement that is designed by Hippocrates, that the director of Hippocrates and some of the men that he works with have designed chemosin. He also takes Entero Rinse, which is to help after the radiation. All of these are all natural, but once you have head and neck cancer and you get this kind of radiation, this intense radiation and this intense chemotherapy, you can't swallow anymore. I mean, the easiest thing for him to swallow is the aloe, and there's a reason for that. The not just the consistency of the liquid, but the density and the weight of the liquid. It was suggested by some of the nurses in the radiology office that he even drink things like nectars, you know. But I finally got him away from so much ice cream and stuff like that because I worry about all the sugar intake, and nectar is like straight sugar. So we've tried some honey. We've tried some things like that. It's hard for him. Even though I thought the density and the weight of the honey would go down further. You know that the muscles in your esophagus help you swallow. So now they are so inflamed from all the radiation, they don't do their swallowing job. So it kind of like has to trickle down. So that's where we are with all of that. Also, topically, the burns were intense on his neck. Many mornings we would wake up and his neck would just be bleeding and oozing and just horrible. If you've ever been around somebody who's burnt really badly, and this goes for the inside of his mouth as well, our body produces something to protect us. Our bodies are amazing. And when given the chance, that's why the other lifestyle is so good for you, because you enforce your body's ability to heal itself. Well, just like you bang your head, it swells. Why does it swell? Because water goes to that area to help protect the damaged area. In his throat and on the burns on his neck, his body created this like white mucusy substance to help heal the epidermis and to help heal the burns on the inside of his mouth. So the only time that he fools his body into not making so much of that in his mouth is when he doesn't have so much pain. So now we're in that circle. He's very strict about when he takes the painkillers because he's never been one to take even an aspirin or an ibuprofen or anything like that. So, but he's realized very quickly that when there's not a lot of intense pain, he makes less of this mucus stuff. So here's where we are. He's in shore at this particular point in time. He's been done with radiation a week yesterday and done with chemotherapy a week, I think it is today, a week today. So he's healing, I think. And every day, although we did a really big spiral downward through the weekend, he wasn't getting enough oxygen. We almost had to put him back in the hospital. But now he seems to be doing a little bit better. Good thing is now he's not on any more blood pressure pills. He's not on any more heart pills. He's not on any more Lasix because he's lost a tremendous amount of weight due to all of this. So now that part, ironically, kind of got better because of the weight loss and all of the things that came with this. So here's where we sit now. So I'm going to put Shelley on the spot. Shelley's been doing a tremendous amount of research. For those of you who may never have heard this, Shelley has healed herself, but now she's on a journey of research for a book that she's writing about natural lifestyles that help heal your body and all the things that you can do for yourself as far as supporting your immune system by what you bring into your body. And I think most of us get that now. I don't think it's so far-fetched. Maybe for, you know, the elderly who don't stay, you know, in the change of everything. They still are having their fried chicken dinners and things like that. So it is what it is. But she's got a lot of knowledge in regard to this, and because of the continued research, I'm hoping today she can bring us a few more things. Okay, Shell, you're on, kid. I guess I've given all the information I have to give.
Right. Well, and you know, you and I've had so many conversations about this, and a lot of it's based on my own personal journey. It's based on what I've seen in friends and family members, and then what I've learned over the last, well, almost 20 years, about 15, 16 years now. But obviously, our choice or my choice, if I had the same situation, would not be to do chemo. So Monica and I are sort of on the same page with that. Interestingly, though, As much as Monica and I are on the same page, I tend towards more to the vegetarianism, where Monica is still holistic but doesn't embrace vegetarianism. So the point of that is that there is not one single holistic remedy out there that's going to work for everybody. And this is something I write about in my book. I'm glad the book didn't come out a couple years ago, because I would have advocated vegetarianism only. And although that's still the correct solution for me, it's not always going to be what's going to bring somebody else to optimal health, providing that if they're going to embrace a meat-based diet, they do that with some knowledge and good decisions, like, you know, free-range meats, organic meats, in lieu of factory farm meats, which is kind of keeping things not good in their bodies, things like that. So depending on whatever lifestyle you're going to embrace, do it at the best you possibly can, all right? Because if you're mindful, if you're responsible, if you educate yourself, and you don't have to embark on a 20-year research experiment like I'm doing, but just learn more. And also look at the sources of the information. If you're being told something by the FDA, if you're being told something, understand that the FDA is funded 50% by the pharmaceutical industry. If you're being told something by the Meat and Dairy Council, if you're being told something by a corporation that's benefiting from you buying their product, be somewhat discerning of that and look to see where there might be unbiased reports, where it's a research study that was done by somebody that didn't have a stake in the results. And that's kind of where I'm getting a lot of my information from. All right. So the bottom line is this. When you're talking about somebody already doing chemo or radiation, if that's where their comfort zone is, they're not going to become a vegetarian or vegan, they're not going to do the raw food thing, they're going to do the chemo and radiation, there are things that can be done while they're going through the process, before, during, and after. Now, we're talking about after now. Some of the things you can do first is to do a full cleansing and to do things that bolster the immune system, okay? Start doing some wheatgrass or chlorophyll or cell food, certain of these supplements that we talk about that actually strengthen the body, then go through the chemo, because now you've just strengthened the body before it starts getting torn down. During chemo, you just spoke about a lot of the things that you were doing for Spike while he was going on it, the aloe and the chemozin and the interferon. Those are all great solutions. Now, after chemo, all right, there's no sign of the there's no sign of cancer anymore, but understand something. Cancer, you never have a zero reading in cancer. So when they say you're cancer-free, what they mean is that the numbers are so reduced now that it's no longer a cancer diagnosis, which means that if things aren't changed that allow the cancer to show up the first time, there's a chance it can come back. So you need to now do things once you are diagnosed as being cancer-free. Now there's a lot of things you can do to, number one, heal the body from what the chemo did, because it does destroy cancer, but it also diminishes some of the immune system. And then you also want to give yourself a better chance of it never coming back. Hang on one second. Sorry,
I don't know what happened.
Okay. No, right? I'm like, I was just starting to sneeze my brains out, and I didn't want to do it on air. Sorry about that. So I muted it. I felt it coming on. So anyway, well, some of the things that can be done, and understand that cleansing the body, you know, doing intestinal cleanses and things like that are very, very beneficial, but the more that you're cleansing the body from, the slower and the more mild a cleanse you have to do, because you can overtax the constitution. So one of the things that's beneficial after going through chemotherapy is to do a very mild cleanse, something that might take a couple of weeks, not something that's going to take a couple of days. Start eating a little bit lighter. Now, in Spike's case, that's a little bit more difficult because he's not really eating anyway. But one of the things that helped, if someone was dealing with chemotherapy that was not affecting the throat or the stomach, where they were still able to eat a little bit, then you might want to attempt to do some sort of a mild cleanse, maybe do some enemas, one or two colonics during that, to start pulling out some of these impurities. Because now what the body is going to do is it's going to go into housekeeping. Once you're no longer getting full-time chemo or radiation, the body now tries to start getting rid of these residual chemicals, these residual poisons, because that's what they are, in the body. All right, and if you can assist the body in cleansing some of this, then it's a good idea. But you want to go with something that's very, very mild. You can either talk to a good naturopathic doctor, ask them what cleanse they think would be the safest, but remember that you must do it slow and easy. Do not try to do a powerful cleanse because the constitution is right now kind of fragile. The other thing is there's certain things you can do, like taking milk thistle, which protects the liver, and the liver is one of the organs that's really hit hard when you do anything that takes a lot of pharmaceuticals into play, prescription drugs, and, you know, Spike was just on all kinds of prescription drugs. So you want to take something that's also going to help the liver to kind of withstand all this. Milk thistle is a natural supplement that does support the liver. One of my recommendations is, because everybody's different and everybody's constitution is different, we each have different predisposed weaknesses based on our family heredity, okay? And then we can create other weaknesses in our bodies by our emotional responses to things. So we're kind of bombarded from all sides. We have our family history of certain predisposed weaknesses. If we have cancer or diabetes or lung problems, you know, or whatever in our family history, then we sort of have a predisposed weakness to that, which means that if we're under stress, if we fall into the patterns that opens us up to becoming diseased, that these are probably the pattern diseases that are going to affect us. Okay? So once you know that, then you can start protecting yourself a little bit more against some of these by making different lifestyle choices. And I cover a lot of this in my book, because people have weaknesses that they inherently have, and they have weaknesses that they create through lifestyle by subjecting themselves to too much stress, by having improper attitudes, or maybe a better way to put that would be inappropriate attitudes. You know, if you're too angry, too sad all the time, and you don't put any concerted effort out to feeling better without the use of pharmaceuticals, it can spin out into actually getting a condition at some point, both physical and mental. So cleansing is one of the things, restoring the body, protecting the liver. One of the ways to restore the body is, and again, this is easier when somebody can actually eat. I'm struggling a little bit with something that would be specifically beneficial to Spike because right now he's still having such a hard time to intake anything. But avocado, for someone that was having a hard time eating, because chemo makes us not feel hungry, avocado is one of the best things to reintroduce into the diet because it's very high calorically. It really has a lot of nutrients in it. It's got some of the essential fatty acids that the body eats. And it has a lot of the different elements of what we need to be healthy. So avocado is kind of like a magic fruit. And obviously going organic as opposed to regular farmed avocado is much healthier. You're going to have a higher density of nutrients without putting any other chemicals into the body, such as, you know, pesticides and the things that they synthetic fertilizers and things like that. So you want to look at introducing things into the diet. If you are a meat eater, very, very, very important that you eat organic meats, especially if you are recovering from cancer or something like that. So, like I said, for me, I would go raw food because I've already done it. I did it for 2.5 years, and that's how I repaired my body so intently. It wouldn't have happened for me if I had continued eating meat, even if I had gone to organic meat, because my body had already started shutting down. I had already started showing signs osteoporosis. There's a name for it. I think osteopenia. I was already showing signs of osteopenia, which is caused by too much animal flesh. It actually breaks the calcium down in our bones. So that wouldn't have been an option for me. But if somebody else, if it is an option for them, because some people that maintain being a meat eater have cured themselves of cancer, but they've done it by doing other positive things along with still being a meat eater, okay? But one of the things is really, really have to consider doing organic meats. There are sources of organic meats that are becoming more and more affordable for people, so you just have to keep looking out there. Look for buying consortiums. Look for certain stores. We have a store opening up near us soon. Curious to see what the prices are going to look like. We're waiting to get a report from you on that. And, because it does tend to be more expensive, obviously. Other things is that during the recovery from chemotherapy and radiation, obviously you want to continue taking things. Now, you mentioned chlorophyll and cell food. Those are excellent to take. These are natural supplements. Chlorophyll is very, very high in so many different, I forgot the number of nutrients in it, but it's very, very nutrient dense. There's these little tiny pills, but what they also do is they cleanse the body. Chlorophyll is both cleansing and highly, highly nutritive to the body. So chlorophyll is something excellent because it's doing both. It's not just cleansing you. It's cleansing you and giving you nutrients for the body to use to restore with. Wheatgrass juice is another one. Some people can't tolerate the taste. I'm thinking this would not be an option for Spike right now just because the taste is so potent. But wheatgrass juice.
He can't. Yesterday, I did some peaches. He loves peaches. Couldn't do them. It burnt him. It burnt the inside of his lips, the peaches. Sometimes water makes him feel like it's hot. I also made him a creamy soup yesterday. One bite, he said, "I can't, Rainey. It feels like it's blistering the inside of my mouth." So the only thing, like I said, that's brought him any kind of comfort that he seems to be able to take without any issues is the aloe. The bad part about aloe that I didn't mention is aloe is kind of a bit of a diuretic. So in the beginning when he first started taking it, he was going to the bathroom so much that he didn't like it. He was uncomfortable with the fact that every time he turned around, he had to go to the bathroom. But I knew that that was helping us flush out some of the chemotherapy.
That's not a bad result to get. I know that it made him uncomfortable, but that actually isn't a bad result for what you just said, because it does sort of have a cleansing effect, and it keeps things from adhering to the colon walls and to be absorbed by the body. So the fact that he was going to the bathroom, regardless of the fact that it was something that was a little, distressing to him, was actually a good thing, to be honest with you.
Well, that's the way I felt, too. I kind of said that to him, but, I've let him deal with things the way he knows how to deal with them, if that makes sense to him. I know him very, very well. So, and I know that if I try to tell him something that he thinks isn't so, it doesn't serve either one of us. So,
One of the things that's so important when it comes to healing is that you have to present information to people in a credible way, but the bottom line is, you have to work with their comfort levels, because I know what I advocate works, because I went to doctors for 30 years, wasn't getting any better, taught myself what to do by reading books, and obviously it made sense to me, and it worked for me. If it had not made sense to me, it would not have worked for me, for the simple reason that our attitude towards whatever we're doing can either bring it success or bring it failure. Now, a lot of people say, well, it worked because you had faith in it and because you wanted it to work. And that's not totally true, because for 30 years while I was going to doctors, before I developed this attitude towards pharmaceuticals and diet and all that, I believed everything the doctors told me. Every time the doctors told me, take this pill, do this surgery, and you're going to be better, I 100% believed it. Okay? So I'm not talking about belief, I'm talking about comfort, okay? I was I was always comfortable with what the doctors I always believed what the doctors told me, but I was never comfortable. Some of the things they were having me do didn't make sense to me when I started suffering side effects from some of the medications. So there was this, like, feeling in the pit of my stomach that what they were having me do wasn't really the best for me, okay? But now I know whenever I get sick, I'm not always raw food vegan, always vegetarian. But now what's happening to me is that if I really go through, because from time to time I get sick or I injure myself, all I do is I become raw foodist again for a few days, maybe a week, and I'm right back to where I was. So it snaps my body right back again. It is a difficult lifestyle to maintain, you know, if you don't have other people to prepare meals for and things like that. So I use it therapeutically. I use it any time I need a little bit of a boost. I'll do the raw food thing again for a few days or up to a week. But when you're dealing with somebody that does not have a comfort zone with that, there are still ways to help them bring about better vitality and healing. And you have to go with the mindset of the person that you're trying to help. So what other types of foods do you think Spike can, because you're saying you try to give him peaches, is there any other type of food that's high calorically that can, you said he can't even do smoothies, right?
No, he hasn't been able, in the beginning we were doing Ensure milkshakes, which went against my grain, but it was drilled into my head that I couldn't let him lose a whole lot of weight because then they get undernourished and then they can't fight anything. And, of course, having seen that at the Institute on a regular basis, I believe that. I know that's true. So I want to say, though, I've got Elise. I just opened up the line. She's been listening for a while, and she asked to, she clicked in so that she could say something. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning. Just letting you know I'm here. And, of course, unfortunately, one of my favorite topics, just because there's so much cancer out there. And I'm glad to hear he got through the weekend and is feeling a little better.
Thank you.
I didn't hear you guys talk, and maybe I missed it because I'm in and out, but I didn't hear you guys speaking about Latrell B17 and something that I recently have learned about. I don't know that much about it, but I know that it's a natural form of chemotherapy through the apricot pit, which has a natural form of cyanide in it. And when I questioned my holistic nutritional researcher partner, who I think is brilliant, Barb Swanson, on this, she said it's her last resort because cyanide is a poison. But I've also, you know, since my work with New Earth, become aligned with some pretty amazing people who know about all this stuff that Shelley was talking about with the cleanses. And there's a man who runs a website called creationhealing.com. And he recently, over the past year, beat stage 4 anal cancer and a very, very, very aggressive, you're going to die in, you know, less than 8 months cancer. And he did it through parasite cleansing and the herbs and, all the different myriad of things for fighting cancer. And so I just wanted to open up discussion for you ladies, if you've ever heard of the B17 Latrell.
Well, yeah, I have.
No,
but
I haven't.
I didn't, and I'm going to check it now today, because when I researched that, and that was about 4 years ago, It wasn't a alternative to chemo. It was an alternative to Lasix. Lasix is very hazardous. It has a lot of side effects. And this B17 was another form of the diuretic to remove the edema from the body, because the edema can become toxic and it can cause neuropathy and it can cause all other kinds of conditions. So the edema that people
get can turn to gangrene.
Right. Can really, really affect the body. So you've got to get that out. And this B17, this Latrell, whatever it's called, which is not made in the United States, it wasn't even approved in the United States. All right, at that time, you had to go out of the country to get it. But they were having a lot of success. Also, people with heart conditions that also had edema. Because the reason I came across it is because about 6 years ago, when I was under so much stress, Okay, and that's always when it happens to us. I was under a lot of stress. I started, my heart started functioning really poorly, and I started getting edema in my left ankle, a little bit in my right, but mostly in my left ankle. And it, by the end of the day, it would look like an elephant's foot. I mean, there was no contour at all. And I wasn't going to start taking Lasix, but it was because of my heart. I had an issue with my heart. It took about a year to correct it, and that's when I started going on CoQ10 and things like that and Hawthorne. The more I supported the heart, this edema problem started reducing. But I never went on Lasix, and I did not take the Latrol. But that's what they were telling me was an option, but that it was difficult to get. They told me to go on the Internet, maybe Google it and stuff. But then I didn't like so much of the information about the Latrol either. And the way I dealt with the edema, and it was pretty severe at times, is I was drinking up to 20 to 32 ounces of lemon water before I would go to bed tonight. I mean, with a large amount of lemon, a little bit of stevia, it made it palatable for me. But I would take like a whole organic lemon, squeeze it into either one to two lemons, into 16 to 32 ounces of water at night before I would go to bed. And when I would wake up in the morning, all that would be gone. All that edema would be completely gone. But I would have to get up like three or four times during the night, you know, to pee. But I'm pretty sure that that's what that is. I'll have to do some research. So I'm not saying this is a fact, but that's what I recall that Latrol B17 being all about.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's not a B vitamin. It's actually not a vitamin. I have information in an email on it. I can forward it to you.
Yes, please do.
And, you know,
well, while you've been talking, I've looked it up online. So let me say really quickly, there's several sites. The Cancer Cure Foundation has got Latrol and information on vitamin B17. Since Latrol is not considered an approved treatment for cancer in the United States, websites that sell it as a cure for cancer are being shut down. These sites include David Arjona's worldwithoutcancer.com and Jason Vale's apricotsfromgod.com. To read our opinion of why Latrol and other natural substances used in alternative cancer therapies are not readily available in the U.S., they have a website to explain all of that. But it goes into a lot of stuff that we talk about and we believe in. But apparently, and I'm just going to go off the cuff here and say something that I wouldn't normally say, and that would be the fact that they probably have some fear against this, because it sounds like, you know, whenever anybody fights everything like this, when people put, if it doesn't mean a damn thing, they don't care about it. They ignore it because they know it's not going to make any difference to anybody. But when something does have something that's strong about it, or they see something that makes sense, that's when they fight against it. And you see that over and over and over and over again, just like wheatgrass. We all know.
The bottom line is there have been, I mean, these are historical books. It's not written by a fanatic. These are written by researchers, sometimes journalists and things like that. There have been over 40 cancer cures developed in the last 80 years, and every one of them has been suppressed. Labs have gone up in flames and all the records destroyed. People's homes have been destroyed. Sometimes the researchers have just gone missing. Sometimes they've been found harmed and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of deliberate behavior out there to suppress cancer cures. And it's, I mean, the history behind it is actually quite shocking when you take the time to look at it. And there are some people that have tracked this, that have tracked people that said, I had a cancer cure, and they weren't just unsuccessful, something bad happened to them. And it's pretty uncanny that it's like, you know, there's accidents and murders take place all the time, but it's like there's a lot of it in that arena, more so than it would be given to chance. So there are some factions out there that are definitely taking a monetary interest to make sure that a cancer cure doesn't really, a real cancer cure doesn't get out there, because this is a trillion-dollar industry. And despite anything else you may believe, you better understand that this is big money involved in propagating chemotherapy.
Well, and I don't think anybody doesn't know that. But the part that changes people's minds and the part that makes you rethink how you feel about something is when you're facing your own mortality. And then things kind of get a different picture. If you think that you're going to die and you think that you can't do something else like change your entire lifestyle and never eat a piece of meat again or never do this, because the word never always comes into play with people. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled children. Brain cancer is a big thing with young people, a big thing. And we had a lot of it at the Institute, 11-year-olds, a 5-year-old, all these young people. And that's the first thing they would say to me, Rini, does this mean I can never eat McDonald's again? And I'd say, never's a long time. Never's a long time. I don't know, maybe McDonald's will come to their senses and start making something that's actually good for you. And then, yeah, you can eat McDonald's again. So it's that those words and what gets said to you about what's going on in your body as to how you handle it and how it sits with you. That's why it's this conversation that we're having right now reminds me of the conversation that took place with Carrie when she was deciding whether or not to give up her child. Words and the presentation that somebody gives to you about what's going on in your body. They told Spike if he didn't do, because he said, what happens if I don't do anything? All three doctors that were taking care of him said he'd probably be gone in 3 months, but it would be horrific because the tumor would get so big it would close off everything. He wouldn't, you know, it would be horrible. So he just said, okay, let's go. Let's do it and get it done with. So it's presentation and how somebody understands what's happening to them has a lot to do with the decisions that are made by people. And I do think you're right, and I said it, and you said it, and we all know it. At the end of the day, all of these things are about money, and that's what makes it so sad. So you have to be informed, and you have to make sure that you understand what's going to work for you the best. Your mind has to be open. Your heart has to be open to make those kind of decisions, because in many cases, it's a life or death situation. So,
and one of the things I find very disheartening, and I don't know that this is going to change any time in the near future, but it would be an appropriate solution, is that insurance companies will pay out hundreds of thousands of dollars for somebody to go through chemo radiation, yet they won't pay out $5,000 to $10,000 for somebody to go through holistic treatments, which is mind-boggling.
We're fighting that now, Shelley. There's a company called Green Insurance, and you know I'm so busy just branding New Earth, but I have somebody on the back burner that I want to bring to New Earth to get busy with once this company is like totally on the map globally. But there are people out there who are fighting for this, and I think it's just a matter of time before we will have an option to go green and to go the holistic route and have insurance back it. But, you know, the conundrum here is that there are so many supplement companies as well who want to capitalize on this holistic, naturopathic route, and so there might be some companies that have some really great ingredients, but then it's like the rest of their product is not clean, and they are a smoke and mirrors company. And so, you know,
that's why you have to go to the ones that have been around for a long time and that they can actually, you know, prove the purity. There has to be some sort of standards. There's standards for hospitals. There's standards for everybody else. So there has to be somebody that understands what whole foods, organic supplements that really can help the body heal have to and set those standards. And there's actually companies within that arena that have already set the standards. So if an insurance company is going to start allowing coverage for that type of stuff instead of getting a prescription drug, you know, go out and get these supplements, then they're going to have to be able to approve. You know, you can only get supplements that have this certification on them to protect people, make sure that they're getting the good stuff. But even above supplementation, I'm talking about therapies. Okay, like what Spike's going through right now, if he was of a mindset to do things a little bit more holistically, in case there's somebody on the call listening, unless you have an aggressively growing tumor that's growing day by day by day, if you've been told that, you know, within 3 months it may be to a particular size, you have a little bit of time to try what are therapies that can reduce tumor size. There's all types of different therapies out there that are electromagnetic in nature. There's a VIA-4 machine, and there's H-wave, and there's light therapies, and there's vibrational therapies that all work at reducing tumor mass, okay? They go in there, and they electrically, energetically remove the the vibration of the tumor, and it starts reducing in size, okay? So if you have the time to work with, now sometimes you don't. We had people who came to the Institute that were told they needed to go ahead and do the radiation first because they had a tumor in a life-threatening area, such as in the throat, you know, so you're around the esophagus for breathing, you're around the aorta, you know, a couple of the main arteries for the heart and brain, you know, so that is life-threatening, immediately life-threatening. But if you have a tumor elsewhere in the body, regardless of pain it's causing you, it's not always in an imminently life-threatening place. Then you have a little bit more time to deal with. And there are therapies out there that reduce tumor mass that can actually eventually eradicate the tumor that are non-invasive, non-pharmaceutical, not chemo radiation, and non-surgical. And they can eventually eradicate along with other lifestyle changes. But it takes a little bit longer. It's not the quick fix, but it's also not as hazardous to the body because you're not cutting into the body. You're not taking in poisonous drugs that will kill the cancer, but then are also going to diminish your constitution. So if this was more readily available to people, you would find people healing more completely without complications. But the reason why a lot of people don't go that route is they simply can't afford it. But they can afford chemo and radiation because their insurance will pay for it. So that's a problem for me.
But there's a revolution going on there, Shelley, just like what happened with all the vaccines and autism. You know, eventually people banded together to raise awareness and to make change happen. And that is just beginning to happen now within the realm of cancer. You've got, you know, the gastroenterologists throughout the country that are like, what the heck is going on? We've never seen all this celiac disease, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease. People's stomachs are basically exploding, which led them to the pesticides, the GMOing, and people really are starting to wake up. It's starting on social media. It's really in the beginning stages.
Yeah, it's really a grassroots movement right now, and there's so many people that don't appreciate that yet, don't believe it. My niece, who's no longer vaccinating her kids and has it in years, and they're healthier than everybody else, was at the pediatrician's office and actually heard two women talking that now there's a support group for parents of children that do vaccinate their kids. And they're starting almost like a sex offender website. Now they want to be able to access a website of parents that do not vaccinate their children so that they can have the option of not allowing their children to play with them. So this is a whole other social...
Yeah, I've heard of that. You know,
I hate to say that, but that is ignorant. If your child is vaccinated and you let your child play with somebody who's not vaccinated, the kid... If you believe they work, the kid who's not vaccinated is at risk, not your kid. So
that whole realm really confuses me because, you know, you hear the arguments on each side, and Rini's probably thinking, hey, we're not talking about vaccines here. So I don't want to cut the conversation, but I wanted to mention mushrooms also because I recently learned that in pharmaceutical drugs, they – have utilized the basis of fungi in these pharmaceutical drugs. Of course, they turn them into synthetics, so of course it's not the same thing. But I found that very interesting. You know, I think one of the large diabetes drugs, something form, the name, you know, I think I had 3 hours of sleep last night.
Well, there's a lot of healing in mushrooms. I mean, Chinese medicine, Chinese herbs, they use a lot of mushrooms in a lot of their preparations. But understand that every time the scientific community, the medical community, makes a synthetic version of something natural, there's always side effects because you cannot recreate synthetically something that is natural. You can't, it's never going to have all the elements. It's never going to be balanced. Nature is so much smarter than science. And
absolutely.
Scientists and medical professionals, I'm sorry, but when you get into that arena, they're very arrogant. And they think that they can play God. And I'm sorry, you can't. Okay? There is nothing as perfect as nature. The
it's
way
so
plants,
true.
When you look at the elements and everything that's in a plant, you cannot recreate that synthetically. And every time they try to save money, okay, because it's much cheaper, it does not have all the same elements of the natural product. And so you're not going to get the same healing benefits. But you're going to be able to patent it. You're going to be able to charge a lot of money for it and spend pennies making it. And that's why the pharmaceutical industry is so big.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and
on one of our shows, we talked about the cost of the pharmaceuticals and how much money is being made by them. So we all know that it's about the money end of things. But multi-level marketing, too, is becoming a very, very wealthy arena. So you have to be careful. Everything you say has to be for the right reasons. And like I said, explanations for things and making sure that people understand what you're talking about and how they're going to suit that individual. How many times have we said that we're all different? DNA proved that unequivocally, that we are different. So what works for one doesn't always work for another.
Exactly.
However, when you're talking about natural versus man-made, when you're talking about flesh versus plastic, it's two different things, two entirely different things. So I think making sure that everybody understands that they have choices is one of the most important things we can do for everybody. But the choices have to be made by them. And what I like to do on this show with the help of women like you who have immersed yourself in the knowledge that you have researched and found to give people those choices to make. That's what it's all about. We should be able to do in the free United States of America any choice we want to do to save our own life or to save the life of a loved one. Obviously, the easiest thing to do is eat better and take better care of yourself. That, hands down, is the easiest thing to do, but a lot of us don't do it. So then we get to a point where we have to make other choices. So I just want to make everybody aware of all the choices that are out there. I don't want to make any for anybody. I've done that enough most of my life. I don't want to do that. You girls don't want to do that. But we do want to enlighten the people so that they understand that there are many choices out there. When somebody tells you, you've got to do this, you're going to die, you know, you can walk out of that office and you can research. Or you can already be enlightened and say, okay, I want to do this. Or, no, I'm not going to do this. It's your choice. That's the most important thing anybody can take from the conversations that we have on this show. It's about your personal choice, what fits you. I will not buy a suit that fits Shelley because it ain't going to fit me. Right?
Right,
so that's
right.
The same way with these decisions. It has to fit you. It has to suit your lifestyle. And we all make mistakes, and you will make some bad choices. Absolutely. God knows if I ever had to count all the bad mistakes I've made, there wouldn't be room in my head to even think about them. So enlighten yourselves. Educate yourselves. Understand that there are options out there that you may not know about. We live in a world of information highway. All you got to do is click a mouse, and you can find out almost anything you want to know. While the girls have been talking today, I've researched everything that they've talked about. There's something on the internet about everything that they've talked about today. So get smart. Take care of yourself the way that suits you. I also want to mention to you girls, I want to talk about MRSA. But I can't today. We're out of time. But I think next Wednesday, it's called the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. And there was a man here in Florida who was on a jet and had a layover here in the state of Florida. And now there has been one case reported of MRSA. So we're going to talk
Florida
about
now,
that.
Rainey. They had it on the news yesterday.
They said what?
There's now a second one.
Okay, so there we go. So we're going to talk about that, and they think it comes from, are you ready for this? Kissing camels. I can't tell you the last time I kissed a camel, but There we
wow.
go. So
we're
thanks,
all at risk.
Girls. Yeah, I know. Amazing, isn't it? Thanks, girls. Love you both. Thanks for all your input. Everybody go out there and have an awesome, awesome day. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we are going to talk about a very close, dear friend of mine who gave us his story of adoption. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Thanks, girl.
Have a good day. Shelley, I need your email address.
All right, sweetie. I'll get it to you. Take care, Elise.
Bye,
Rain. Everyone have a great day.